Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I am Brian Hefty along with my brother Darren. We're broadcasting today from the Morton Studio and we're going to be talking about pasture crop protection programs. But in addition to that, even if you don't have pasture, I want you to think about your farmyard. I want you to think about your ditches. I want you to think about your non-crop areas. We're going to talk about all of that today. And if you've got any questions for us, you can certainly give us a call here at the Morton Studio, 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You could also email us, radio@agphd.com. We'll get to the Ag PhD mailbag later in the show. Or find us on Twitter, Ag PhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. All right, so to begin with, on pasture crop protection programs, the number one thing I would say I'm talking to people about is think about your pasture like you would your cropland. When you raise more grass in that pasture, you absolutely make more money, correct? It's so much better for your entire operation. So you have to be thinking about everything you're going to do, how you're going to manage that. So in addition to, and we're going to talk about crop protection, but I want you to think about fertility. Are you soil testing? Are you grid soil testing? What are you doing in terms of that overall fertility program? Is it possible you may even need to do some drainage out there? I mean, there's lots of ways you can handle this whole thing, but ultimately, then when you manage your livestock out there differently, it will change your need for crop protection. Here's where I'm going with this. If you do a great job with, let's say, soil pH and fertility and rotational grazing, what you're going to find is that your grass is going to choke out more weeds. Then there's obviously less need to spray and there's more grass overall. So just be thinking about that. I mean, above and beyond anything else. When we come to specific weeds, and we're certainly open to taking your phone calls and talking about your specific weed you have in your pasture. But like in our region of the country, in the Midwestern United States, usually the number one weed we're talking to farmers about is thistle. And the best product that's ever come out on thistle in any crop is called Milestone. Milestone is for most grass production. It will kill some trees, but it is nice compared to the old Tordon, for example. It's even better on thistles. You don't have to worry about killing fish, and you don't kill as many trees as what Tordon would, but Milestone has tremendous residual. You might get 2 or 3 years worth of control out of it if you use the strongest or the highest labeled rate, but Milestone is fantastic on almost all thistle species. So that's something we want you to be thinking about moving forward. And yes, you can buy Milestone in different combinations, different premixes, whether it's Grazon Next or, I mean, well, there are just several combinations you can get it in. Chaparral. But the point here is get Milestone out there if you've got thistles.
Well, thistles are certainly catching the headlines, Brian, but there are lots of other weeds that are out there in pastures. And the big thing I always think about is just how much that reduces my ability to stock that pasture with cattle. If I want to put more cattle out there, I control weeds. And, yep, thistles catch the attention. I also think about leafy spurge in a lot of areas, especially in the West. We hear a lot of growers that say, man, leafy spurge is just taking away acres.
And unfortunately, and Milestone isn't going to take out that leafy spurge. That's where you want to go Tordon. Go full rate Tordon, and it will permanently wipe out your leafy spurge. It's awesome.
The other thing is brush. And I talk to guys all the time that say, man, I've got a lot of brush that's gotten started out here. Yep. And that competes even worse than a lot of these annual and even perennial weeds that we're talking about with many pastures. It's interesting, as you drive in the West, you'll look on one side of the road and you'll see, like through the state of Wyoming is just a great example. I remember coming back from Yellowstone, and I'm cutting across Wyoming and just checking out the countryside. And on one side of the road, all kinds of grass, lots of cattle, looks great. The other side of the road should be very similar dirt. I know it's not going to be exactly the same, but should be pretty similar dirt. And here we got all kinds of brush out there, and hardly any cattle are there, and hardly any grass are there. And it just makes such a difference. I get it that you say, well, man, my pasture rent is only $20 or $30 an acre. I can't really afford to spend $10 or $15 on a herbicide option, but in those dry climates, we're seeing multiple years of impact where you spray right through the middle of one of those patches and you completely wipe out the brush and the weeds. That patch stays clean for several years because you aren't getting much rainfall. It's got good residual in the soil. And like you were talking about milestone, there are several of these pasture products with just excellent soil residual. And that's really impactful in these types of climates.
Yeah, but let's talk about non-residual. So sometimes we look at Tordon, Milestone, Ally, a lot of the products that end up getting used in pastures, and we go, whoa, I can't plant a broadleaf crop out there for 5 years? I don't know if I want to do that. So that's where Remedy Ultra comes in. When you look at that triclopyr active ingredient, it's really good on a lot of the brush species that you're talking about. And then you don't have all that residual that you have to worry about in the plant back. So the great thing, I guess I would say, with pastures is when you compare it to 20, 30, 40 years ago, basically everybody was doing 2,4-D back then. Well, today, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think there's a need at all for 2,4-D out there. I really don't. We have to, when you use 2,4-D, you've got to worry so much about drift and volatility. 2,4-D costs way more than it ever used to. So why do that? I mean, in pastures now, a lot of times I'll talk to people about just as another product here, Distinct, for example. Well, what's Distinct? Distinct is the same thing as Status, only it's 1/3 the price, and Status is the best weed killer in corn. Corteva is coming with their new DuraCore. Well, that's going to be Milestone together with a group 4, so similar to 2,4-D, but it's not going to have all the volatility and the drift issues. So we're going to have a lot of people switching over from like Grazon Next to DuraCore here very, very soon. That looks like a much better option. I mean, there are just a lot of choices out there, so you don't have to go 2,4-D. You certainly can do it, but since the price of 2,4-D has come up so much, we'd rather see you go a different direction and do a better job with weed control.
We're talking about pasture crop protection programs on today's Ag PhD radio show. When looking for someone to help with your risk management, a key component to look for is patience. Patience to bring you along in the process at your own speed. Patience to learn about your operation. And patience to not only discuss what strategies may be effective for your plan, but why they would be effective. That's the strength of Grain PhD. I'm Darren Hefty. When you're ready to become more engaged in your risk management, Grain PhD can assist you with that process. Visit grainphd.com to learn more.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, and we're talking about pasture crop protection programs. And certainly, I know when we look at crop fields, farmers are sometimes a little hesitant to change. I've been using this and it's been working. It seems like when I talk to guys about their pastures, boy, so many are just completely set in. Well, here's my program. I use this in the spring, or I use this in the fall, or maybe I'm just doing 2,4-D and spot treating some of these broadleaf weeds. But there are some new and exciting options out there, and that's what we wanted to talk about on today's show. And also just to hear from farmers and ranchers all over about what they're doing and what kind of things are adding success to their pasture programs. If you want to call in, our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. Start off in Iowa. We've got Doug with us right now. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you bet. How are you doing today?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. Now, when you think about pastures in your area, what would you say are some of the keys to getting the most out of that pasture area?
Well, fertility and cedar trees seem to be a big thing our way. And there's a few areas that have some musk thistles, but that's kind of the biggies there.
You know, and you mentioned fertility. This is one that I think is an interesting topic, too. I hear a lot of farmers talking about nitrogen. Are there some other things you found to be key in your fertility program for pastures?
Oh, you bet. When I cell test for the micronutrients, too, and I put those on as needed. And I just got some cell tests back from this fall, and believe it or not, the micros are starting to look really good. They've been working on it every year, and they're really showing quite the improvement.
You know, one of the things that I hear a lot, too, in different operations, they'll talk about, wow, when I added micronutrients in my pasture, I started to see healthier livestock, and I started to see better rates of gain. I know zinc has been one that a lot of folks talk about, that you can actually double your rate of gain by getting that zinc up to a good level. What micros specifically have you been working on, and have you noticed some differences in herd health or rate of gain?
Well, the ones, I guess, that I have tested for is sulfur, zinc, boron, manganese, and all those have been needed a little bit in different amounts, of course. But I think the grass looks better in stress times. It's greener. I think it grows longer in the season, you know, at the end of the season. And we don't creep feed anymore, so we're saving quite a few dollars. I'd rather put that in fertilizer instead of having a creep feeder out there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, you talk about these micros. It's not like you need a huge amount for grass production either. Once you get those levels up, now the maintenance amount is pretty inexpensive.
It really is. It's money well spent. If you've got something that's low, you need to take attention to that and do it. Your soil test says, and you'll be rewarded for it. I guarantee it.
Now, you mentioned that different areas of the pasture needed different amounts of micronutrients. How small an area are you sampling? Do you have 5-acre grids? Do you do zone sampling? What's your current practice?
Been doing like 5-acre grids. Now, some of our pastures are in rotational grazing. So, you know, you might have a 5 to 10-acre paddock, and so, you know, we'll just do that. I probably could go, you know, like to a 2-acre grid or something, but for me that works pretty good.
Yeah, sampling by paddock really seems to make sense, and then you could really track that over the years as well. It's interesting on our crop fields, looking at our response year over year. And I loved your comment, Doug, that, hey, I've been adding micros now for a number of years. They're finally starting to look really good on the soil tests, and you're seeing a big difference in how that grass is growing too. Hey, Doug, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your operation, and good luck heading into this spring.
Well, you bet. Thank you, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Let's head down to Louisiana. A little different situation than what's going on up in Iowa. I'm curious about management there. Got our friend Cedric on. Cedric, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Okay, so you heard Doug share a little bit about what he's doing. Does some of that translate to what you're doing down in Louisiana?
Not really doing micros, but I have got away from the old old way of liming the field and bringing up calcium. This fall, we started using liquid calcium. It doesn't last. The liquid calcium to bring up the pH level in our hay-producing fields, it doesn't last, you know, 4 to 5 years like the old-fashioned ag lime we've been using, but it's instant. We can see changes in the field, you know, in 2-3 weeks.
Wow.
But it lasts for it lasts only like 2-2.5 years. It's a new product we've been using from Agritech, and it's called ProCow. So we've been using that, and we've been seeing a drastic change, getting rid of weeds. Didn't know that, you know, raising soil pH from 5.7 to 6 within a six-month span, that blew my mind on soil testing. So I never have did anything with the micronutrients. I haven't tried that yet down south yet.
You know, you start changing pH like that too, all of a sudden you get better nutrient availability on many of the nutrients in the soil that just get tied up pretty easy in those really low pHs. That's interesting and neat to hear. And the other thing, and you're coming on weeds, our friend Neil Kinsey often talks about that when you get into different soil issues, like low pH, for example, it gives certain weeds an unfair advantage out there. So kudos to you for taking away that advantage and getting back to just growing good grass.
Yes, we with this ProCow stuff we've been using now for about 6 months now, I can say that even during the winter months, some of this Bahia fields, you know, with the frost and stuff like that, that grass dies out. But, you know, it has the parts that didn't really get the ice or frost on it. It's still looking green and looking healthy. It's not growing because of the temperature of the soils out there, but, you know, it looks like something different. I heard Brian talking about 2,4-D prices going up earlier on the show, and Grazon Next is phasing out. Is that true?
Yeah, Brian's the bearer of bad news, isn't he?
Said. Well, hey, on the 2,4-D, my whole point in the 2,4-D is I'm comparing this to 10, 20 years ago because everybody's so set on, well, I just use 2,4-D. Well, why? Well, that's just right. What we've always used. And my point is a lot of these other products like Tordon and Milestone and everything else have come down in price, and 2,4-D has gone up in price. So the gap is really closed, and I'm just saying we should look at other things. And yes, Grazon Next is going to be gone in the future because it's going to get replaced with a better product, DuraCore. And I mean, Grazon Next and DuraCore are the same thing. The only difference is instead of the regular old 2,4-D and the Grazon Next, you're going to get a new 2,4-D kind of replacement that doesn't have all the drift, has a little more broad spectrum, and the price is going to be the same. So, I mean, people are going to go DuraCore in the future rather than Grazon Next.
So that must have been the reason why our seed supplier had all his Grazon Next on sale, and I bought it up last year. They knew it was going out.
Yep, that very well could be. So, yeah, we'll see that DuraCore labeled in every state here soon.
I have to imagine that drift is even more of a concern in Louisiana just with the humidity and temperatures that you get.
Yeah, well, we really don't have, in our operation here, though, we don't have no soybean or corn farmers around us.
Okay.
Now, we do have, you know, in the pasture areas, you know, we have, you know, trees and that kind of stuff. And I've noticed 2,4-D, traditional old 2,4-D, actually knocked down, you know, trees. I mean, knocked leaves off those trees. And I'm like, what's going on? And that's what it was, you know, the drift that was doing it.
Yeah, and I know we manage this a lot just by trying to spray fairly early in the spring or spray later on in the fall and those kinds of things. So we can still manage around it. We know what 2,4-D is. We just manage for it. But, yeah, it's kind of neat. There's some new options coming. 2,4-D's been around for, goodness, 50 years. So it's kind of nice to nice to see some new stuff.
Let me ask you a quick question while I got you on the phone. Overseeding Bermuda grass into Bahia grass, you have to till up the whole area or have a burn down?
Well, if there's no way to control the volunteers, then yes, that's about all a guy could do is get out there, burn it down with Roundup or something like that, and then start fresh by putting in that new seed. Hey, Cedric, we got to run. Thanks for talking to us, though. Really appreciate that. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at soilwarrior.com.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic herbicides from Atticus LLC. Tough broadleaf weeds are a hassle, but they're no match for Cavallo from Atticus. Cavallo delivers fast, contact, and residual control so your corn, soybean, and sorghum crops can thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit atticusllc.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
Revitech fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Bean growers continue to see yield loss from white mold across the Midwest this season. To maximize next year's crop, a white mold prevention strategy that includes Contans WG soil fungicide is a must for your farming operation. Applying Contans this fall to reduce the sclerotia in the soil is the most effective way to stop white mold at its source. Start a Contans white mold control strategy this fall or pay for it later in lost yield.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today, talking about what's going on with pastures. There's definitely some differences happening here with crop protection programs, new products coming out, different products starting to take a little more market share. And of course, we talked about the old basics like 2,4-D, that's even changing. We're seeing some replacement products out there available now that are actually cost effective too. Let's talk to somebody in our home state, though. Here we got Paul Johnson on with South Dakota State University. Paul, how are you doing today?
Good.
You know, we're talking about pasture weed control. When I think about South Dakota, boy, there's a lot of acres of pasture and rangeland out there, and we certainly have some weed challenges.
Yeah, you know, and I think this next year is going to be even worse than we've seen in the past because of all the flooding situations we've had and wet areas in our low-lying pastures. In fact, a lot of them, I'm worried we might even lose some of the grass out of them because of these conditions.
You know, that's a great point. And I know last spring we were talking to a lot of growers down in Nebraska that said the same thing. They were just wondering what was going to be left of some of these pastures after all the flooding. What are you seeing out there? Are there certain weeds that are moving in? As soon as we have challenges for good grass growth, we generally see a lot of weeds that take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I really don't know what we're going to have for weeds because a lot of these areas are still kind of underwater. And so consequently, they're not at the point we will determine it. And so I think we're going to have to be somewhat flexible because if those areas dry out, we could, you know, end up with not only perennial weeds, but a lot of annual weeds that may be coming out of crop ground that washed in there or something like that. So it's going to be a real challenge.
All right, when we think about some of the perennial weeds, I know we certainly get a lot of focus on thistles and different species of thistles out there. What are some of the other weeds you'd say are real key ones that you're working with growers on every year?
Well, the thistles, the leafy spurge, wormwood sage, or absinthe wormwood, Those are the real key ones that have most of the acres involved and are the ones that we're seeing real concern over in our established pastures. You know, we are seeing some biocontrol works in leafy spurge areas, but it doesn't do a good job in our low-lying or shaded areas. So consequently, we're still needing chemical control in a lot of that ground too.
Yeah, the biocontrol has been interesting. I know we've gotten some feedback from some of our listeners, too, over the years that they've had mixed results. In some cases, it's been good, and some it hasn't. But, boy, we've had nothing but positive results about products like Tordon and the impact that's having long-term on spurge. With prices coming down on some of these products, I know we've had feedback from growers saying they're using a little stronger rate and wiping it out for good. What are you seeing with Tordon? Is it still working?
Yeah, you know, if we're in areas that we don't need to worry about groundwater or any of the issues that way, it's awful hard to beat Tordon for a broad spectrum pesticide. It's did a good job, and then even mixing some Tordon with some 2,4-D for more of our where we're dealing with maybe biennials such as must thistle or plumeless or things like that can really do a good job and provide us some longer residuals. So we, on our program, are looking at a lot of programs now where we're trying to use maybe a higher rate, but hopefully with the residual allow us to go every other year, because on a lot of pasture spraying, the cost of being out there and doing it takes a lot of time and effort that people don't have, and so they're willing to spend more on chemical if they can maybe go to an every other year program.
That's a great point. I know just on our own operation, when we drive across the pasture, it's not like driving across a cultivated field. There's going to be some surprises out there, and it's not a whole lot of fun. And of course, if you get some really rough ground, you may have to hire a plane or something like that. Well, then the application charge costs about as much as the herbicide. So if you can get multiple years, that's a pretty good deal. The other thing Paul is going to ask you about, there's so many new products that are starting to come. And I know you guys do a great job at South Dakota State looking at some of these new things. We've gotten a lot of questions about DuraCore and the Rinscore, the new active ingredient that they're putting in. And I know there are other ones out there too. Are there some of these new ones that you've gotten a chance to take a look at or are excited about looking at this year?
Well, we've had some looks at them, and we're just now getting approval to be able to talk about them, because being they were kind of under confidentiality in the past, and some of these new ones for goldenrod control, we did a lot of work there, really looked good. Some mixtures in with dealing with other compounds on thistles and things like that really have showed some added effects there too. And so we're kind of excited about them. You know, anytime we can get a new product on the market that is, you know, even though it's in the same chemistry as 2,4-D, they are acting different and doing things different, and we feel the resistance problems will be less too, and we like to rotate those chemistries if we can.
Yeah, and that's a real challenge. We were talking earlier in our show that we get guys that say, well, I'm just using Grazon and I'm using it every year because it worked. And can you talk about that a little bit? I don't know if we've necessarily got resistance, but it seems like that would be a good way to get resistance to develop if you keep using the same thing over and over.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, we know our annual weeds that cross-pollinate are the most likely to get resistance. Perennials are less likely. But if we look across the board at our pasture weeds, we are kind of looking at 2 and 4, whether it's your IMIs or your growth regulators, are the main products we have available for control in pastures, and not a lot of other chemistries out there that we can use in pastures. And so we encourage anytime you can rotate to a different one and still get the same results that you'd be doing that.
I've been talking with Paul Johnson at South Dakota State about pasture and some of the different crop protection programs out there. Paul, I guess got one more I want to ask you about, and that's Distinct. We've had a number of growers across the country have been sending us some pricing, and they've said, oh, we priced Distinct, and hey, that's actually getting to be pretty affordable, and it's been a powerful weed killer in the past. What do you think about using it Distinct on some of these annual weeds out there?
Well, it works good. We keep in mind that, you know, we are dealing with a dicamba-type chemistry there, and so depending on the time and location, we need to be watching that. But we've had some very good results with it, especially looking at it in mixtures, like on some tough things like yellow toad flax and Dalmatian toad flax, where we really don't have a lot of options out there. We would also be hoping that maybe the method product would be getting some pasture labeling, and that would give us another tool out there too.
Yeah, it's fun when we get multiple things to choose from and are able to rotate things around. Like you mentioned, some of these tough weeds that just aren't getting enough attention. And I would say as a whole, pastures aren't getting as much attention as they probably should. It's pretty valuable ground as well. Been talking with Paul Johnson with South Dakota State. Paul, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Anytime.
You know, Brian, Paul brought up a number of different products there. I look at our farm and think about the weeds that we've had over the years in the pasture, and it seems like one of our best control methods we haven't mentioned yet, it's just getting even better grass growth. If we can choke out those weeds, they don't
I did mention it. In fact, that's the first thing I mentioned today, because I'm always thinking about how do we do this without spending money? Or maybe spending the money in a different way. Instead of spending it on a herbicide, how about we spend it on more fertility? How about we spend it on some fence and doing rotational grazing? How about we spend it on some soil testing? So, I mean, ultimately, the goal here is not to control weeds. The goal is we just want to raise more grass. And yes, we have to control weeds to raise more grass, but I'm just saying, any way we can come up with it, that's awesome. So we'll talk a little more about pastures, and then we'll get to your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag right after this.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Using N-Serve nitrogen stabilizer with fall fertilizer applications keeps nitrogen available into the spring for maximum crop growth. Field trials in Iowa show N-Serve delivered an average revenue increase of $22.96 per acre, and N-Serve is the only recognized nitrogen stabilizer product in the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy because it reduces nitrate leaching. That's max profit in an environmentally sustainable way. Calculate your field's profit potential at nitrogenmaximizers.com.
We know balanced crop nutrition pays. AgriLiquid has the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop, plus the expertise to give you a recommendation based on your soils, your fields, and your goals. AgriLiquid has the phosphorus, potassium, and micronutrient products necessary to deliver the best results from a solid fertility program. Visit AgriLiquid.com to find a dealer near you.
Avoid dry run failures with the new Hypro Force Field Pump. Providing the ultimate protection, this wet seal pump will save you on costly in-season downtime to keep your sprayer running. Now all you have to worry about is the weather. Hypro, helping you spray better.
The last thing you want after harvesting your grain is to spoil it before it goes to market. The Grain Temp Guard from Farm Shop MFG is a low-cost bin monitoring solution that tracks temperature and humidity and alerts you when conditions exceed safe thresholds. Visit farmshopmfg.com.
You know a healthy crop is required for your best results. Simply put, balanced crop nutrition pays. AgriLiquid fertilizers have the research, technology, and products to deliver those results. We also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you with your fertility decisions. AgriLiquid can help you maximize your yield potential effectively and economically. Visit agriliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. Our exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. We're talking about pasture crop protection programs, and I love one of the comments made at the end of the last segment. If you're just tuning in, you may be expecting, all right, they're going to talk about herbicides, and it's going to cost all this money to try to kill weeds out in pasture. But one of the things that we always look at is, how do we do this without any money? And I'm not talking about just hand weeding. I'm talking about getting great grass growth. I started off the show talking with Doug down in Iowa. He grid samples his pastures. He fertilizes with more than just nitrogen, more than just N, P, and K. He's looking at micros, and he said he's been adding sulfur, zinc, boron, and manganese. And now he's got grass that handles stress better. It's greener. He's growing grass earlier in the spring, later in the fall, and he said the big thing for him is that he doesn't have to creep feed anymore. They're getting enough nutrition out of the grass. That's fantastic and a huge cost savings every year. So that's something to take a look at. If you're feeding this up yourself, if you're running your own livestock out there, it really pays to try and take care of those soils.
All right, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about 2,4-D and just our concerns with volatility and drift. There is a new 2,4-D out. It's called 2,4-D choline. You could buy that with Freelex, or there is Enlist One that gets, that's the one that's labeled over the top of Enlist crops. Anyway, it is night and day difference versus the old 2,4-D. So if you can find Freelex instead of using old 2,4-D, because you still really want to use 2,4-D, get that Freelex or get Enlist One. Now, here's one other thing that I'll bring up. And Darren, we really don't talk about this much with pasture ground, but how about Vastland? That's triclopyr choline. So 2,4-D choline is what's in Freelex. 2,4-D choline is what's in Enlist One. It's that choline formulation that makes things whole different. We talked about triclopyr earlier in the show, Remedy Ultra. So if we can do some of these things with less risk for volatility and drift, boy, that's pretty nice. So just another product that could be used for brush control is that Vastland. I guess I'd also say here, when we start talking about roadsides, ditches, non-crop lands around your farmyard, you just have to be super careful. You can't use some really long residual products in some cases, like a Tordon or Milestone, because you might have sensitive crop, you might have trees. So yeah, in a lot of cases we're talking 2,4-D, but that's where I come back to, well, maybe it should be the new 2,4-D, Freelex or Enlist One. Maybe it should be something like Vastland, Remedy Ultra. Take a look at different products there. Talk to your agronomist about these things. But all I'm trying to tell you here is, if you're still doing the old super volatile 2,4-D from 40 years ago, there are better ways to do this thing.
Well, and we look at just in our area, Brian, how many people have moved out into the country, and we've got more neighbors than we used to have. Yeah, being really sensitive about what we're doing out there and being a better neighbor is always a good thing.
I'm less worried about the neighbors as I am my own stuff. That's what most people are going to say. And my point is this. People that move out to the country, what do they have? They usually have a garden. They have some flowers. They have trees. Well, they don't want damage to any of their own stuff. So that's obviously, when it's right on your property, it's right next to where you're spraying, that's your biggest risk. I mean, to move clear off site to the next person's property, most of the time that isn't happening. But all we're saying is, yes, in both cases, we got to be concerned, both with the neighbors, but with our own stuff. So just be careful about what you're using. I hate old 2,4-D. We got better options now.
All right. You want to dive into the Ag PhD mailbag? You ready for that?
Yep.
All right.
It's now mailbag time with Brian and Darren.
Okay. Got a Got a couple of soil tests here. These are from Southwest India, and they're from Prasanth. He said, I've been using sulfuric acid the last couple of years trying to bring pH down. I've got a really high soil pH in this farm. And he said, it's getting better, but not as good as I had hoped after spending so much money. Is there something better to use than sulfuric acid? Why do you think my pH is so high?
So he's using sulfuric acid?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that sounds gutsy. Super That's dangerous. Gutsy. Yeah, I mean.
So we're actually making sulfuric acid in the soil by applying elemental sulfur. If we've got a pH that.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
this pH, according to this, now I don't know this lab, obviously, because it's from India, but when it says 9.5 pH, I can't believe he's growing anything. So usually when we see pH that high, something is obviously very wrong. Most of the time when I see pH that high, I look at sodium and I say, yeah, my sodium levels are off the charts, terrible, and I have poor drainage. I don't see sodium on here, Darren, unless I'm missing it somewhere.
I didn't see it either, nope. But I just took a quick look at those tests,
so
too.
I don't think I've ever seen a pH this high in crop ground where the sodium wasn't high. So my guess is that's what's going on. That's our problem. We've got high sodium. So how do you fix acidic soil? The first thing you do is you add drainage, and so we're talking tile. Now in India, I don't know what you're doing there, if that's even a possibility for you. If it's not, honestly, I'm trying to get out of this ground. I'm going to go find some other ground, because I can't, if I can't tile, I'm never going to be able to turn a profit like I think I should on this kind of ground.
Yeah, I think another thing that I'd recommend to you is I'd get online and buy Neil Kinsey's book, Hands on Agronomy, and just read through some of his fertility recs for wildly high pH like that. And maybe that'll get you to the source of what the issue is out there in the field a little quicker. I would check that out. It'd be money well spent.
But yeah, I don't see a test on salt. I don't see a test on sodium. And that's what I would like to know. Where are we at on those things? Also, with sulfur, the sulfur's actually pretty low. You're talking like 6 parts per million, according to this. And so it's usually when we see poor drainage, and not certainly not in all cases, but usually when we see poor drainage, and especially when he says he's been throwing sulfuric acid out there, he's been getting sulfur out there of some sort, then you'll see ridiculously high levels of sulfur. So that's why I just really question this pH. Is it right, number one? And number two, if it is right, what are my sodium levels?
Thanks for the questions, Prasanth. Really appreciate that, and sure happy to take any more questions you have as well. Got a question here from George in Arkansas. He said, I've got a client that brought in a soil sample. He's wanted to raise his base saturation potassium. He's at 1.5% now. He would like to get up in the 4 to 5% range. I'm wondering what method you use to compute how many pounds of potash I would need to apply to raise him up to that base saturation level.
Did you say parts per million? Sorry.
No, that'd be the other piece of information we'd need, George, is what the parts per million are.
Right. Okay, so where is he at now for percent?
1.5%.
Okay, and what's he want to go to?
4, at least 4.
Okay, super easy. Just what's 4 divided by 1.5? Hang on 1 second. I'll tell you exactly what it is. 2.67. So let's call it 2.7. So all you do is take whatever your parts per million in the soil is right now for K. Let's just call it, let's say it's 100, so this is easy math for me. I just take whatever my parts per million is and multiply times 2.7. And that'll take me from 1.5 to 4. Okay, so if I'm at 100 now, that means I've got to get to 270. Okay, so what's the difference between 270 and 100? It's 170 parts per million. How do you convert parts per million to pounds per acre in a 6-inch soil test? You multiply times 2. So just as my example, this is just an example, okay? I don't know what your parts per million is. You got to tell me that. But if it was 100 and I multiply times 2.7, I subtract off the 100, okay, that leaves me 170. I've got to add, multiply that times 2 for pounds per acre, I got to get 340 pounds of actual K out there. 340 pounds of actual K, that would be roughly 680 pounds of potash. And by the way, you might be listening to this going, well, wait a second. Your math isn't right because potash is 60% K. No, it's not. It's 50% K. Potash is 60% K2O. It's only 50% K. So I know, seems crazy because you probably have known OO60 your entire life, but that 60 does not stand for potassium. It stands for K2O potassium. To convert K2O potassium to regular potassium, you multiply times 1.2. That's how I get my 50% the percentage for actual K. All right, we'll get to more of your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag next.
Maximize your flexibility and control the toughest broadleaf weeds and grasses with Anthem Max herbicide from FMC. With a wide application window in both corn and soybeans, and with an easy-to-tank mix formulation, Anthem Max is ready to go when you are. Visit fmcagus.com or ask your FMC retailer about Anthem Max herbicide. Always read and follow all label directions and precautions for use. FMC and Anthem are trademarks of FMC Corporation or an affiliate.
Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run vans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at stepsgms.com.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer Amaranth or Water Hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like Water Hemp and Palmer Amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
As your corn crop grows and the ear begins to form, potassium is at a high demand, almost as high as nitrogen. The same is true for soybeans, with similar high demands of potassium during pod fill. Don't fall behind. Ensure your crop is getting its potassium with Catalyst. Catalyst by Actagrow has been shown to be the best at entering the leaf when compared to other leading potassium products. Visit k-supercharged.com for more information.
White mold and sudden death syndrome are two of the most important fungal diseases in soybean production today. But did you know 40 to 50 million acres in the north central region are affected annually? When every season has different disease challenges, the question becomes, how can you ensure the best start for your soybeans no matter what? The answer is Heads Up Seed Treatment. Trusted by growers across the Midwest, Heads Up offers a new mode of action to prime your beans to help fight fungal disease. For more information, visit headsupst.com.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here along with my brother Darren. We're right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag. Before we get to that, I was going to mention real quick, Darren, on we were talking about crop protection products earlier, and we failed to mention fungicides and insecticides. There aren't a lot that are labeled, but there are a few that if you have a problem, it'd be very rare when you'd ever need a fungicide, but there are some fungicides that are labeled. With insecticide, we do see that from time to time. You in many cases, may not be able to use the same insecticide you normally would in your crop ground because of grazing restrictions is what I'm trying to say. So you could look certainly at 7, at malathion. There's also Dimelin, that is for grasshoppers and a few worm species. Now, you could go out there with maybe a silencer or some cheap pyrethroid, Mustang Max, something like that, but you really have to look at the grazing restrictions because in many cases you can't do that if it's going to be grazed or hayed and fed to livestock.
All right. Speaking of crop protection, Brian, I had a couple of questions come in on crop protection. One was from Ben, and he said you had talked about buying up multiple years of Roundup potentially. I'm wondering about storage with Roundup. Can you store it for a few years before you use it? Does it lose any of its efficacy, or do you have any issues with salting out?
Nope, no problems at all. Now, my preference is that you keep it in heated storage because two things that can happen to you. One, I worry about the tank getting damaged and broken. Think of how brittle things can be when it's 20 below zero. The other thing is occasionally we've seen what we call floaters at the top. So everything looks fine, but you see just a little black piece here or there at the top floating around. Sometimes the surfactants, the adjuvants, the emulsifiers that are in there. So in other words, basically the inert ingredients. Some of those can, or let's put it this way, if it freezes, it doesn't come back into suspension perfectly. Now, it doesn't really cause much problem other than you might plug a screen or something. So a lot of times, if that ever happens to us, we'll filter it out. But no, we really don't worry about it. We've had Roundup for 5-10 years, and it works just fine. I'm not concerned, especially if it's in heated storage. It'll sit there for a really long time. And by the way, talking about that again, the only reason why I mentioned, hey, should you consider buying multiple years' worth of glyphosate is because it's at a 5-year low for price, number one. And when we think about long-term, everybody's attacking glyphosate, so I have to believe the legal cost, just the cost to keep it labeled, keep it insured, is going to go up. And right now, Bayer's got a rebate program that'll make your name brand Roundup, RT3, PowerMax, almost half price.
All right. And speaking of that, got some questions here. Several different people, Alan, Bill, Dave, a number of them had sent us questions about this and said you've been talking about how now these name brand products, some of them you can get as cheap as generics.
Way cheaper. I mean, you're crazy this year to buy generic glyphosate.
Do you have to buy Bayer's seed in that program to get things that cheap?
You don't have to buy the seed, but you would have to buy some of their chemistry. You match it up with some of their chemistry, and that's what gets it so cheap. So chances are you're going to buy a Bayer product anyway. Bayer's the biggest ag company, they might even be the biggest ag company in the world. They're the biggest crop protection company in the world. But my point here is you're probably going to buy something from Bayer anyway at some point throughout the season. Just buy it now and then get your Roundup at half price. And if you were to buy basically 2 acres worth instead of 1 acre worth, so in other words, let's say you bought pre and you bought a post from Bayer. Well, you know what? Now you can match up both of those with name brand Roundup. So I don't personally care what you buy. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care if you're buying name brand, you're buying generic, whatever else you're buying. Our job here is to at least help you understand which things are cheap and which things are expensive and how you can get the best control of weeds and do the best job on your farm for as little money as possible. And when Bayer came out with that rebate program last summer, I'm like, what? No, that can't be right. I met with some of the head people in Bayer before it ever got released and everything. And I really didn't say too much because I'm like, I think these guys have they figured their math unbelievably wrong because what they're going to pay out is incredible. It's the biggest rebate program in the history of agriculture. So anyway, you got to at least take a look at it. And if you've normally been buying something else, this is what I say even on our farm. But I tell farmers this all the time. Start from scratch every year. Instead of saying, well, just like the pasture discussion we've been having today, instead of saying, well, I've always done it this way and I've always bought this product, I don't care. I don't care what we've done on our farm either. I want to start from scratch every year and say, all right, I've got this weed. I've got this issue. I've got, you know, this problem over here. What's the best way that I can get that stopped? How can I spend as little money as possible, yet get the best control possible? That's what I'm really after. And this rebate program and some other companies' programs they've come with and price reductions, it's changed things dramatically. We were talking about pasture stuff today. The price of Milestone is way down. And even on our farm, I've said, I don't know if I want to spend the money in Milestone. My thistles aren't that bad. Well, now it's like, well, hey, if it's only going to cost this much, yeah, sign me up. I'm going to do that. Distinct, that price is down. I look at, there's a generic Grazon now. That's Tordon 2,4-D. If you've been using name brand Grazon before, well, that price is down too. But now there's a generic. I mean, there are just options out there. And I'm just trying to say, look at all your options. Name brand Roundup RT3 Power Max is really cheap right now. Cheapest it's ever been when you include the rebate, ever.
All right, thanks for the feedback, guys. Really appreciate that. I know there's a lot of conflicting advice out there and information. You certainly have to look at those rebates and calculate through what's the best way to save the maximum amount of dollars too. All right, I got this from Landon in Oklahoma. He said, really appreciate talking to you guys or getting your recommendations here earlier this month, but I have a follow-up question. So I'm making plans regarding the phosphorus, potassium, sulfur that we talked about in micros. My question is just around gypsum. How much is too much to put out at once? I want to get a base saturation of calcium up into the 70% range across my farm. Well, I'm going to need up to a 1,500 part per million increase.
Does it say what crops he's raising?
On that test, I think. Doesn't it say somewhere on that one?
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, he said, I'm wondering, can I put 6 tons on in one spot if there's roughly 25% calcium in there? That'd be 3,000 pounds of calcium.
Well, I don't see any spot that's 25% calcium. But here's the problem.
No. 25% calcium in the gypsum.
Oh. Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. All right. So here's the way I look at this. We usually talk about trying to raise calcium.
I'm sorry. He did say wheat, sorghum, and sesame.
Ooh, I don't know about sesame. Wheat and sorghum, I am perfectly comfortable having a relatively low pH, but I don't need a super low pH. Here's where I'm going with this. He's got some pHs out here of 5.4, 5.6, 5.7. And yes, his calcium percentage is only in the 40s, 50s. Just put a touch of lime on. You don't need much. Just put a little bit of lime on.
Well,
you
the
don't
pH
need
is already
gypsum.
In the upper fives, low sixes.
Darren, what I'm saying here is 5.4, 5.6, 5.7, he just puts a little touch of lime on, his calcium percentage is going to be over 60, and he's fine.
It's going to come up as the hydrogen goes down.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's the challenge here, Landon, is your hydrogen percentage is high because your pH is off.
Yeah, you don't need 6 tons of gypsum. No way am I doing that. Would I consider putting on 500 pounds? Sure I would, because you need sulfur. But let's look at the other things that you need here too. So that's going to help you a little bit. But what I'm saying is don't blow your whole fertilizer budget on gypsum. It's not going to solve your problem. Your problem here is your phosphorus levels are crazy low. Your potassium, you could use a little bit more. Your copper's a little bit low, not bad. Your boron's ridiculously low. Your zinc's ridiculously low. So I'm just saying, spend your money on actual fertilizer rather than blowing it all on gypsum. Because the gypsum thing might help you a little bit, but I don't see it as an enormous helper for you. And when the pH is less than 6, we would tell you, put a splash of lime on. Don't get carried away, but use a little bit of lime. He's got very heavy ground, Darren, 21 to 29 CEC. So he needs some. He just doesn't need a crazy amount.
All right. Thanks, Landon. Really appreciate that follow-up. Quick one here from Trent in Wisconsin. He said, I'm looking into strip till. Wanted to know if the CEC and nitrogen holding capacity will change for me if I move from broadcast and incorporation to banding. I'm in the 10 to 12 CEC soil. I'm worried I'll have less holding capacity if my nitrogen's all in one spot versus if it's spread out. Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it will make a little bit of a difference. You will hold just a little bit less. Am I that worried about it? No, because in the long term, if I can do less tillage, I don't have to do full-scale tillage, let's say, and now I'm just doing strip-till. Well, hopefully I'm building up my organic matter and my cation exchange capacity over a long period of time.
Hey, thanks for the question, Trent. Really appreciate that. Thanks to you for listening. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.